We are just 1 week away from the 100th episode of Fanti, but we thought that this week, since we're still off, we would give you the very beginning of Fanti, our very first episode.
Listen, y'all, okay, this was a couple years ago. Kevin Hart was all up in the news for his foolishness. This is the very first episode we dropped. We'll get into all those details later, okay? But take a listen. Looking forward to hearing y'all feedback, and we will hear y'all, see y'all, talk to y'all next week. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Fanti, the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I'm Travell Anderson.
And I'm Jared Hill. If you're not familiar with Fanti, Fanti is a word that we came up with because we find that there are these situations where you're totally a fan of something or someone.
So. Yes.
And then they say or do something that you feel very anti about. So you take being a fan and mixing feeling anti, and you're kind of Fanti about that person or that thing.
So this is the type of conversations, type of podcast that we have here. We're trying to give you that nuance that you're not really getting from your Twitter feed.
Specifically today, we're getting into the nuance around Kevin Hart.
Yes.
It's an interesting time to be talking about Kevin Hart because we're going into the second year of the Oscars with no host. Later on, we'll have our honorable and our dishonorable mentions. But before we get into all that, we've got a segment we like to call Pass the Popcorn. This is a segment where we celebrate drama that's happening on the social medias. If it's so good that you can't look away, there's only one thing to do, and that is pass the popcorn.
Yes, yum, 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 yum.
This week,
that's me eating.
The story that got us putting our... I love Laura so much. Our producer, Laura, is fantastic with the way she writes some of these intros. This week, the story that's got us putting Orville Redenbacher in the microwave is...
So there's this clip going on online right now. I tweeted it out of this woman who voted for Pete Buttigieg in the Iowa caucus.
What? I'm sorry?
Pete Buttigieg.
I'm sorry, one more time.
Listen, that's as close as we gonna get.
Pete
Buttigieg.
Boot edge edge.
Buttigieg. That's what I said.
That's not what you Buttigieg. Said. But go ahead on, sis.
Anyway, so she had voted. She had submitted her card casting her vote for Pete Buttigieg, and then she finds out that he's gay.
So are you saying that he has the same sex partner?
Pete?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's married to him, yeah.
We need to find out if that's serious.
Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
Okay, so what's delicious about this? Because it's about 2.5 minutes of clip.
Yeah.
What I love about this is shortly after this, she goes, well, why didn't anybody say anything about that? And I'm like, sweetie, that's the whole reason we're here. Like, Pete Buttigieg would literally not be a candidate for president if he were not gay. It was hilarious to me that she was like, well, why did nobody say anything about him being a homosexual?
It's really crazy. Or in the words of Skylar Ezell, he responded to my tweet with, I'll first say that there's the gif of Oprah giving like the little like shrug, like, mm-hmm. I don't care. And his caption is, someone once said that Pete had top privilege.
Okay, moving on. What's gonna be interesting to me about this, though, with Pete Buttigieg seemingly having won Iowa, is that she goes on talking about, well, the Bible says that you shouldn't be married to a man and that men should be married to women. And she has like this whole Christian rant that she goes on about why it would not be okay to vote for Pete Buttigieg. And the woman that's talking to her is, you know, a fantastic surrogate because she does such a great job of really explaining to this woman, like, everyone is entitled to have their own opinion and you're allowed to have the opinion that you want. She was like, but it really should not matter, you know, who he's married to. The woman that is speaking to her name is Nikki Heaver, and she's just kind of like trying to explain to the woman, like, you can still vote for Pete even if you don't like that he's gay. What's going to be interesting, though, is that Pete Buttigieg is a gay man who, like, loves to tout Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. And so
same,
right. Sort of. Which we'll talk about sometime. But that's going to be interesting because evangelicals have been such stands of Donald Trump that it's going to be really interesting to watch them have to figure out whether they go for like the actually Christian candidate.
Yeah.
Or the one that they have attached themselves to.
A lot of the people in my mentions when I shared this story are saying, and y'all thought that, you know, black folks was going to be Pete Buttigieg's problem.
When it's, well, like, they will be.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
But not necessarily because he's gay,
right? I think is the point that they're trying to make. And I don't know how, you know, the cookie's gonna crumble when it comes down to it in what wins the November.
It's gonna make for an interesting race in November, because it's gonna really come down to, the brass tacks is gonna end up coming down to whether or not they
can
compete. Never mind.
Who are you?
Have we met? Let's take a quick break and we'll let you hear about some of the other fantastic shows on Maximum Fun. When we come back, we're going to have a heart-to-heart about Kevin Hart. Your style isn't one size fits all. It's about what suits your body and what suits the moment. So why not shop at a store that is personalized to your size and your style? Stitch Fix Freestyle is a shop built just for you, with styles for workouts, to work wear, for lounging around the house, or for a night out on the town. Stitch Fix Freestyle has clothes for any occasion. Plus, there's no subscription required, and they offer free shipping, returns, and exchanges, which for me, with online shopping, like, that is key. Get started today by filling out your style quiz at stitchfix.com/fanti. That's stitchfix.com/fanti to try Stitch Fix Freestyle. That's stitchfix.com/fanti. If you're anything like me, you probably didn't make New Year's resolutions this year. And you know what? Like, why do we even bother with that? But it does not mean that we should not still find ways to shake things up, whether it's by switching up your workout routine or going someplace new. Whatever way you challenge yourself this year, there's no better way to do it than with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. Their everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. There's also awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings, so you can take Raycons with you wherever you go. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me. Y'all know Travel has those little tiny ears, and like the fact that they come with variable sizes of the tips to go in your ear, very pleasing for them. Right now, Fanti listeners are getting 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/fanti. That's buyraycon.com/fanti to save 15% on Raycons. That's buyraycon.com/fanti. All right, welcome back to Fanti. I'm Jarrett Hill, and we're getting into...
And I'm Beyonce. He just almost skipped over me. Y'all saw how he did that.
I know that you're literally about to talk, so you can chill. I'm Jarrett, and we're about to talk about our Fanti of the week, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Okay, so here's the thing. The Oscars are this weekend, and as you mentioned earlier, for the second year in the row, there won't be a host, and it's all Kevin Hart's fault, because around this time last year, he was announced as the Oscar host, and, you know, somebody pulled up some old tweets that he had made that people say were homophobic, and he went and apologized, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then he ended up stepping down, and so the Oscars went without a host last year, didn't have really great ratings, but they're going for it again. He also just recently released a new docuseries on Netflix that covers the whole hubbub and, you know, let's just say evolution that perhaps he has had about it all. But before we get into all of that, I need to know from you, like, what are your feelings on Kevin Hart, the comedian and the actor, like pre all of this
pre
drama,
his politics,
pre tweets, you know, pre whatever foolishness. What are your feelings?
So it's a few different things. One, I enjoy the stand up. I think the stand up has been pretty solid. I've not really gotten into like a bunch of the movies. And I've enjoyed some of the TV stuff that I saw him do. And one of the things that I really love about Kevin Hart, and they highlight it really well in the new docuseries, Don't Fuck This Up, on Netflix. I love how much of a brand he's been able to build himself into, right? Like, stand-up comics do not grow in the way that Kevin Hart has. And I think what's really remarkable about him is the way that he's been able to, like, parlay this into a whole production company that is doing all kinds of really awesome stuff. And so I always want to shout out, celebrate a black man that is able to really build something that extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it's exciting and fun. I mean, you feel that way about Tyler Perry, for instance. From a business perspective, Tyler Perry's killing it as a business.
Sure, yeah.
From a content perspective, that's another episode.
So here's the thing. I don't find Kevin Hart funny.
Okay.
I don't think the stand-up is funny. I don't think the movies are funny. I watch it and I give him like the blank stare.
Okay.
And I'm just like, ugh. However, like you, I'm down for anybody who's able to come into this Hollywood industry and get some coins from it, mm-hmm. right? Particularly if you're of color, even more so if you're black. You know, one of the things I often say is I want you to get your money now. Yes, you might be giving us a movie every 2 months and, like, we just got to deal with it. But, like, unfortunately, it probably will dry up and hopefully you will have done what you need to do, you know, with your money to, like, sustain yourself. It doesn't necessarily seem like that's happening with Kevin Hart. Like, he's still putting out, what, at least a movie every year or something.
I would say two or three.
Or something. And so, yeah, so I've never found him funny. But it seems like he definitely is a comedian, I guess, that, you know, is a quote-unquote crossover comedian. Mm-hmm. Like, the blacks apparently love him, but so do the whites as well.
I mean, let's be clear. Crossover means white people like you, right?
Well, yes.
Like, let's be call it what it is.
That was my explanation mm-hmm. of crossover. Blacks and the whites.
Do you want me to reach across this room?
And the others too. The other, you know, colors.
Well, I think crossover tends to talk about whiteness, right? More than it talks about, like, getting a Latino audience or an Asian
yeah.
audience.
Yeah, well, they're the ones
Native
buying
audience.
The tickets, right?
Exactly.
To all of these stadium shows that he's having. Right. And so, like, I applaud all of that. I, like, get your coins. You know, he also, one of the beautiful things that we do get from this docuseries on Netflix is we get to see more of kind of the responsibility he's taken on with his, like, community, his group of, like, friends mm-hmm. who all open for him on mm-hmm. these massive tours, right? And so you have these folks who go from being, for lack of a better word, no-name folks that, like, you might see at the Comedy Store to now they're, you know, they're up there headlining and opening for Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's really amazing. It's really great. But I never found him funny. And then we get to December 2018. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart is announced as the host of the Oscars. People love it. People are like, oh my God, a black man's going to host the Oscars again. But then almost immediately, a media reporter, Adam B. Vary, does a search on Twitter for words like fag and homo on Kevin Hart's timeline mm-hmm. just to see if, you know, anything like popped up. Mm-hmm. And he ends up finding a number of tweets using those particular words going up through 2011. So some of the tweets include, hold on, the link is loading.
We're sitting in the studio waiting for Travelle.
As you should be waiting on me.
That in the middle of a podcast.
You wait on Beyonce. That's just what you do. I've got it. It's up. We're ready. So some of the tweets include him just, you know, calling people fag. There's a tweet that, you know, he talks about a billboard he saw and equating somebody looking to, like, a HIV/AIDS patient. There's the kind of big tweet that most people have been focusing on, and it's the tweet that reads, yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse. Now, I'm reading it with this particular voice because I feel like that's how it's written. It's like
no, it sounds exactly like Kevin Hart. It's a really good impression.
It wasn't supposed to be an impression. Anyway, the tweet says, this is from January 10th, 2011. Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, stop, that's gay.
Yes. So this is really, really challenging because to put this in greater context.
Yeah.
He also has a special that he came out with called Seriously Funny, where he talks about his son being gay being the biggest fear that he has as a parent.
Right.
And this is what he said.
One of my biggest fears is my son growing up and being gay. That's a fear. Keep in mind, I'm not homophobic. I have nothing against gay people. Be happy. Do what you want to do. But me being a heterosexual male, if I can prevent my son from being gay, I will.
So all of those things in context bring us to the moment of the Oscars.
Well, yeah, I just want to say about that thing. It sounded very much like, I'm not racist, but...
Well, right, because you can say that you're not something and then, like, show that you are.
Right.
Right? Like, Donald Trump loves to say that he's the least racist person that you'll ever meet.
And then we see his actions.
And then we see the actions that don't support that.
Right, so he gets announced as the Oscars host. This tweet is resurfaced. There's all these stories written about it. There's like a small campaign, if you will, to get him to either apologize or step down. And he decides that he's not going to apologize because apparently he's addressed it already.
So I just got a call from the Academy. And that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old or we're going to have to move on to find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009, 2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I moved on and I'm in a completely different space in my life. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response to the questions that have been asked years after years after years. We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay in my ground. Regardless, Academy, I'm thankful and appreciative of the opportunity. If it goes away, no harm, no foul.
Can I say what's interesting to me? And like doing research for this episode, I've like heard more and more of like these clips again. And it's interesting to me that in most of the instances, he says, I've addressed it, but he doesn't say I've apologized. But like on occasion, he will say, I apologized. And it's like, you're clear that you didn't apologize. He always starts off with, I've addressed it, I've addressed it, I've addressed it.
And it's one of those things where, you know, an apology often involves the words, sorry.
Something like that.
Or I apologize.
Right.
You know, we can take that. And, you know, there were a lot of reports around this time. In particular, there was a Vulture article where they did all of this research compiling all the times that he's, quote unquote, addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, they could never, they did not find an apology. Apology?
Wow. Hello, South Carolina.
I know, right. It slid right on out. But they did not find an apology. They did find a number of instances in which he did address some of his older jokes, some of his older tweets, in which he kind of conveyed, you know, I think the way he kept saying is that he would never do those jokes today.
Which is, A, not an apology, right?
T,
because
yes.
All of these different things that he said in the various different instances that the Vulture article pulled together so beautifully, he always says, like, he wouldn't do that again. I wouldn't say that now because we're so much more sensitive than we were back then. Or, you know, people would feel differently about this. But he's never said, like, I'm sorry for saying that. I wouldn't say that again because I don't believe that anymore.
Right.
Or my heart has changed on this, right?
Right?
It's always like, it's about the way that it would be received, not the way that it's being sent.
Now, one of the important things that, like, makes this conversation a little bit relevant for us now, like we mentioned, is the docuseries that he released.
Yes.
Right? And let me first start by saying that the docuseries, it's called Don't Fuck This Up. It is actually good.
I enjoyed it.
Surprisingly, I mean, I hate watched it because I thought I was going to hate it. And by the end of the 6 episodes, I was like, huh.
I watched it because you were like, I just hate watched this and I actually enjoyed it. And then it was like, oh, we've got to do an episode of Kevin
Yes.
Hart.
And so it's interesting because we find out in the documentary that he's had cameras following him for a couple years or so leading up to this moment. And so there are cameras with him when the whole Oscars debacle is happening.
And mind you, this is toward the tail end of the docuseries because
yes.
There's like a cheating scandal that happens with his wife.
Yes.
There's him.
With him cheating on his wife, to be
exactly,
clear.
Correct. And then, you know, before that is him trying to, you know, get this movie made and
yes.
all these other things. So it's an interesting 6-part series. They're only a half hour, so I like watched all of it in a night. But it's interesting to see the way that he engages his team about this once it finally comes up. So we see Kevin going in to address his team. They're all in the boardroom. They're all kind of having a roundabout. And he addresses the team after now days of this kind of like spiraling out of control. This is what he said.
Thank you all for sacrificing Sunday morning. You people being the closest to me, I want you to hear me and understand that. The tweets, I want you to know how stupid, idiotic those things were wholeheartedly.
Cute.
Right. Okay. It's like, oh, maybe there's a bit of a shift. So then his publicist is in the meeting and they kind of explain how, you know, the people who don't know you are probably the people who are the most upset and offended by these tweets. And if they've seen the clips of your special, then his manager, Dave, points out that they have people looking at all of them now asking, like, why are you continuing to support this homophobic guy? And, you know, wondering if Kevin's going to like bail on them because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to put up with this and he's made his money and he could leave. Then we hear from his executive. One of his executives is a woman named Carly. She's gay, and she lets Kevin know how she's been affected by this personally.
We know you. I know you. We've had many conversations. It wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the moment when it hit, when my gay brother reaches out and is furious, and when my therapist, gay, reaches out and is furious. And that's the person I talk to every week. So suddenly now our work conversations I know will shift because it's like, okay, that's in there. You know, the venue owner for my wedding is gay and called me in for a meeting because he didn't want to support. It's like, it's that kind of stuff.
Which I think puts a much more human face on what it's like to work there with him and then have to deal with this kind of scandal out in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I'll first say that it was great to see that there were people on his team who also were like, you're fucking this up.
Right.
You know? And so he's paying the right people.
Well, because...
But it's obvious that he wasn't listening. Because the publicist, there's a scene earlier where the publicist is like, put your phone down. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And she says how, in a like confessional type interview, she says how she was on the phone with him. He put her on hold and he recorded one of those videos of him, you know, on Instagram,
right,
doing his, you know, man foolishness.
Well, so this was helpful for me because throughout the documentary, we get to see like the man crew that he's built around him,
yeah,
right? Of his like best friends who are also comics, and you were saying like they opened for him,
yeah,
around the world and stuff like that. And this kind of affirmed for me that back when this was happening, I remember thinking to myself like, this feels performative in a way that is about like, looking good in front of your boys in a toxically masculine kind of way,
mm-hmm,
and being like, I ain't going for that gay shit, I ain't apologizing for shit. That's what it felt like when I was watching it, and then to see it on the documentary, it kind of affirmed that for me because it was like, oh, you do have that circle of boys around you.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting because, you know, we also have to remember, right, that he did this entire, like, press tour situation. Mm-hmm. And one of his press hits, like, the main big one was, like, the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up writing this whole, like, op-ed about, like, how, you know, Ellen doesn't have the right to, like, pardon Kevin Hart on behalf of, you know, all LGBTQ people. And to your point, it felt like there was an erasure happening of black LGBTQ people in this moment because it felt as if Kevin felt like he was fighting against white gay people.
Mm.
And that the blacks, you know, the blacks weren't having a problem with this.
See, this is where we disagree because I didn't feel like it was an erasure. I felt like it was just a complete ignorance. Like, I felt like there wasn't really an
understanding. Is ignorance not erasure?
Because erasure...
Purposeful or otherwise?
Erasure feels like a decided, like, choice of, like, getting rid of something.
Interesting.
And ignorance, to me, is like... You guys don't even, like, have the perspective to recognize what you're ignoring here. Does that make sense? Well, I mean, maybe we're talking on the same side of one coin. But to me, I wasn't upset with Ellen or him going on to Ellen because my look at it was, if we later found out, you know, that Ellen and Kevin are like, besties, the way that they portrayed themselves in that mm-hmm. interview, and, like, this white woman didn't come to defend this black man who she knows that, according to her, isn't homophobic, is a great person,
mm-hmm.
and she has this platform to be able to kind of exonerate him in that way, in the way that she seems to have intended, then we would have probably been upset with her for, like, not coming to his aid either. That's how it felt to me.
No, I mean, because to be clear, I don't want to hear Ellen's opinion on nothing.
Why?
Because I'm just not. She don't do nothing for me. I don't find her funny either. Her special was blah too.
Okay.
I just never been interested in her. You're not watching me. I'm not watching her. You know.
You're not watching me. I'm not watching her. She hasn't seen you apparently.
Apparently not. Right. Okay. But yeah, I just. Did not. I knew that he would go to her show because, like, she's one of the most visible queer people,
mm-hmm.
right? And he can hit a variety of audiences by going on his show,
right?
But I just didn't think it was the right move personally. But we begin to see in the docuseries as this all is going on what appears to be a shift in opinion happening because he's, you know, talking to his black gay friend.
You know, I had conversations with tons of gay friends. I remember Lee Daniels telling me, Kevin, it's not about the apology. It's about you saying that you don't condone violence. And that's when the light bulbs really started going off. I missed an opportunity to say simply that I don't condone any type of violence in any way, shape, or form to anyone for being who they are.
So... Lee Daniels. I didn't even say anything. What are you laughing about? I don't... Can you guys hear the fake smile on my face? So Lee Daniels for me is challenging in this instance. And mind you, we weren't privy to the whole phone call. Maybe Lee Daniels said other things. The issue for me is that this is half right. Because the issue isn't only about, or even primarily about, Kevin condoning violence so much as it's about the homophobia. Because the violence is a result of that homophobia. Mm-hmm. And you can say that you're not homophobic as he was in the clips. And, well, I'm not homophobic, but I don't want my kid to be gay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all of those things, like, you can say what you want to, but then you have to have evidence to be able to support it.
Yeah.
And so Lee Daniels saying to him, it's not about, it's about saying you don't condone violence. Like, yes, that's a part of it. But really the issue is you being a homophobic asshole.
I find it interesting that, like, we always have to get to a point of violence for people to understand that some of the ways that they think or feel or believe are problematic.
And have a real impact for people.
Right. Like, yeah. you have to have somebody tell you that, you know, kids are actually really out here getting dollhouses breaking on their head in order for you to be like, oh, my God. I was wrong. I was immature. He makes a comment about, you know, feeling as if he was immature and how he's grown through this particular experience. I don't know. I have complex feelings on him as a person in this whole situation. Like, one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking now that the doc is out is, like, should, like, was all of the hubbub around it worth it?
Mm.
Should Kevin Hart have still hosted the Oscars? Should he be hosting the Oscars this year in response to his revelation?
So the challenge for me, watching this whole back and forth about whether or not he was going to host and the Instagram post of him in bed, like he couldn't even put a shirt on, which I wasn't mad at because it's not a bad body.
I mean,
but
listen. He worked very hard.
But the moment that really turned it for me, actually, wasn't anything that he said or did, like, on camera. It came with Don Lemon coming on CNN saying, I spoke with Kevin, and he said something to the effect of, it is not my goal to be an ally of the LGBTQ community.
Right.
And in that moment, I was like, you could have said nothing, but you opted to let us know that you don't want to be an ally.
Is it a problem that he doesn't want to be an ally?
For me personally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the grand scheme of life, maybe not for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this kind of goes down to our question of, you know, are we too sensitive? And, like, is this ruining comedy? Because I don't think it's necessarily ruining comedy. I think that we're at this time where every audience is getting more and more niche, right? And, like, everything is becoming cable. As I always reference it as becoming cable. Like, there were 530-some-odd original scripted shows on television last year, according to Peak TV. There are shows on TV that have cult followings that I've never even heard of.
Right.
Right? And so I say that because, realistically, Kevin Hart can have an entire fan base that follows him, buys his, you know, tickets to his shows, goes to every movie, watches everything he does, and I don't have to be a part of it, and he can still go out and win. I don't think it's about us becoming too sensitive. I think it's about us being more selective about the people that we want to give our time, energy, and money to.
Mm. So then why do you think, I mean, I'm asking this of myself as well, why did we feel some type of way through it all, though? If it doesn't matter, right, in the grand scheme of things, and if, you know, I'm not really a fan, I'm not a fan either, you know, I'm just in that gray area, mm-hmm. right in the middle.
Oh, welcome to Fantasy.
Like, why do we care?
I cared because I did like Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of like Kevin Hart, right? I'm pretty fanti about Kevin Hart. Like, I like Kevin Hart. I mean, like, on the superficial stuff, like, he's a handsome guy, you know? Like,
he's short, though.
I mean,
I happen to love a short man.
But the word though is what really says that you have some problematic feelings there. We'll deal with that another
with
episode.
Him.
Anyway.
Specifically. My short man is fine.
But like How you doing? Okay. But I have some challenges around Kevin Hart now because I feel like in the ways that we stick up for our Black celebrities and the work that they do and the backlash that they get or the struggles that they have, like, I have a little bit harder of a time sticking up for Kevin Hart because it's not my goal to be an ally of Kevin Hart if you can't be an ally of mine. So that's the challenge that I'm having with him.
That's I see that. I feel like I hold everyone to the same like level of accountability. And when it comes down to it, is you want my coins.
Hello.
Okay. You want as many. And we know, even from this documentary, this docuseries, one of the things that we know is that he has this like amazing drive because he don't want to be poor again. Right. And I get it. I feel that intimately.
Honey.
But in being successful means that you want everybody's money. Right. Or at least as much people's money as you can get.
Ooh.
Which means you want my money?
I see. That's where I'm.
You don't
think
really he want
sure.
my money?
I mean, I think he would happily take your money,
right?
But I don't know. I don't. For me, like with Kevin Hart, after this whole thing happened, after the Don Lemon comment,
mm-hmm.
is when I literally went and unfollowed him, and like I'm not liking and sharing Kevin Hart shit. But then I watched the documentary because I was interested in the story, and you had said it was actually surprisingly good, which is kind of the fantasy for me is like, yeah, I'm interested in the story, but like, I can't give you my money and I can't give you my support and I'm not retweeting and I'm not sharing and I'm not,
right,
you know,
only streamed it once.
Listen, and I didn't thumbs it up. Bastard. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's complicated because, like, I want to support this black man that is out here doing really well and I want to be able to give him love and shine, but I'm sorry. I have a problem with it.
Is this something that he can come back from? Because, like, at the end of the docuseries, they talk about, Carly in particular talks about how, you know, because of this whole situation, his production company, Heartbeat Productions, is, like, making a commitment to bring kind of, like, LGBTQ inclusivity into the projects that, you know, they produce. And so is that a way where he can, like, come back from this and be an ally to the community?
I will tell you, as a gay person who is, like, pitching television shows and mm-hmm. all kinds of different things, I'd have a real challenge with going and pitching at Kevin Hart and then going out and like them saying yes and like, yes, I want your money, Kevin, in this instance, right? But like, I'd have a hard time trying to figure out like, now I got to go on press tour and I'm on a Heartbeat Productions show about LGBT stuff. Like, because now you're going to be asking me, like, well, why are you with Kevin Hart? You know what I mean? Like, it makes it difficult.
Yeah.
It makes it really hard
but
to
But I wouldn't be mad at you if you said yes. And if your answer to that question of why, you know, you went with Heartbeat Productions as a gay man, he gave me the money.
Well, I mean, the money definitely helps. Don't get me wrong. But for me, like, I do believe that people should be redeemable in a way that I don't feel like our culture really allows people to be. I feel like most people should be redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there is a way to come back from this, right? You can say like, wow, I didn't realize how really fucked up my perspective on this was. Not I've addressed it. I've talked about it. Yeah, it's about the violence. No, it's about the fucked up way that you look at gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't have a fucked up way that you looked at gay people, you wouldn't be talking about breaking a dollhouse over your kid's head.
Right.
Or you wouldn't be in your stand-up special talking about the way that you hit your kid because you thought he was doing something gay. Like, you have some fucked up ideas about homosexuality that you probably need to work on in somebody's therapist couch.
Right.
but it's hard for me. It's hard. It's difficult.
You mentioning the Don Lemon piece actually reminded me of another issue that I had, which was, you know, he did not, I felt like I wanted him to have a conversation about all of this with a black queer person that we could see. Him coming out with this docuseries, I think was his way of addressing it, but he didn't do any press.
Well,
at all.
I mean, to that end, I mean, we are both journalists and doing our journalistic duty. We reached out to Kevin Hart's team at Netflix and his personal team, and he declined to be a part of the conversation because I'm really fascinated and interested to have the conversation with Kevin Hart.
And we should say he hasn't done any press.
He hasn't
on
done
the
any
series.
Press. It wasn't just like a middle finger to the black faggots or something
right.
like that. But like, he hasn't done any press on it, which makes me feel. It makes me feel mixed about it because it's like, maybe you can't talk about this issue well. Maybe
right.
you haven't evolved on it.
But
right?
it's also like, what would you do? Like, I don't know. I don't even know if there's room for him to have a conversation about his mishap. Maybe that's why he was just like, you know, we're going to put this docuseries out and we're going to call it a day and I'm not going
to
answer no more questions.
Yeah, but I
it.
Think he has to have that conversation with the black queer person or at least with a queer person who can take him to task in a way that Ellen wouldn't.
Right. And didn't.
Before we wrap this up, we want to know your thoughts on this topic. You can tweet at us at Fanti Podcast, or you can find us on Instagram at Fanti Podcast and jump into our DMs. And we really want to know what you guys have to say about this, and we might include what you have to say about this topic in our next episode. So
you can call out Jared for being foolish. That's totally acceptable.
You can call out Travelle for being anti-black. That's fine. Now take a listen to this very important message from another Maximum Fun show, and we'll be back with dishonorable mentions.
Are you feeling elevated levels of anxiety? Do you quake uncontrollably, even thinking about watching cable news? Do you have disturbing nightmares, only to realize it's 2 in the afternoon and you're up? If you've experienced one or more of these symptoms, you may have FNO, news overload. Fortunately, there's treatment. Hi, I'm Dave Holmes, host of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters helps fight FNO. That's because Troubled Waters stimulates your joy zone. On Troubled Waters, two comedians will battle one another for pop culture supremacy. So join me, Dave Holmes, for two doses of Troubled Waters a month. The cure for your news overload. Available on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Annabelle Gurwitch.
And I'm Laura House.
And we're the hosts of Tiny Victories.
My tiny victory is that I sewed that button back on the day after it broke.
We talk about that little thing that you did that's a big deal to you, but nobody else cares.
Did you get that Guggenheim Genius Award?
We don't want to hear from you. We want little bitty tiny victories.
My tiny victory is a tattoo that I added on to this past weekend.
Let's talk about it.
My victory is that I'm 1 year cancer-free. But my tiny victory is that I took all of the cushions off the couch, pounded them out, put them back, and it looks so great.
So if you're like us and you want to celebrate the tiny achievements of ordinary people, listen to Tiny Victories.
It's on every Monday on Maximum Fun.
And now it's time for our dishonorable mentions. These are the stories or people that really caught our attention this week. They've either done something really good or something real stupid. Travelle, what you got?
Well, first up, I think in honor of the beginning of the Black History Month, shout out to Carter G. Woodson, I'd like to give an honorable mention to Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, Lord, this moment.
He was at the BAFTAs this past Sunday. He won the award for Best Actor in The Joker. We won't talk about it. It's fine. And he used his acceptance speech as an opportunity to draw attention to, like, the pasty white film industry.
Before we play this clip, explain what the BAFTAs are. Because most people,
the BAFTAs are like the British Oscars, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he had this awesome speech that I think a lot of us have seen, but if you haven't, take a listen.
He did what he needed to do.
I'm ashamed to say that I'm part of the problem. I have not done everything in my power to ensure that the sets I work on are inclusive. But I think that it's more than just having sets that are multicultural. I think that we have to really do the hard work to truly understand systemic racism. I think that it is the obligation of the people that have created and perpetuate and benefit from a system of oppression to be the ones that dismantle it. So that's on us.
Well, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Listen,
he gets an invite to the cookout, for now, at least.
What an excellent use of white privilege.
That is what we need more white people to do.
Absolutely.
Use your privilege in service of us.
I mean, come on. I have a dishonorable mention, and it's for the Iowa Democratic Party and the people who created this acronym app that they used. I am just really blown away by how the Iowa caucus is now. 3 elections in a row have proven to us that they don't need to exist anymore. So to everyone in Iowa, love you, adore you, think you're special. But this Democratic Party or the whole Iowa caucus process, y'all really fucked this up. And I hope this is the last time that we ever do this way.
It won't be, but okay. I'm going to give a quick dishonorable mention to the Washington Post. And also actually really just like traditional media, period. Washington Post got into some trouble. They, you know, suspended a writer for tweeting out a article about sexual assault allegations in Kobe Bryant's past shortly after he died. There are new reports about them threatening Wesley Lowery, who's one of their noted reporters, over tweets that he did. It's basically just another example in a long line of examples of the old heads in traditional newsrooms perhaps getting it wrong, but or at least at minimum not getting it right when it comes to social media, journalism, the changing guard of what we expect, I think, in this industry. And so, you know, the Washington Post and the New York Times and all the rest of yous can do better.
Wow.
All of them.
All the rest?
All of them.
All of them. I want to give an honorable mention to a Black gay man that I adore. His name is Yolo Akili. He's the founder of the Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective. You can find them at beam.community online. This week, they had an event called The Future of Black Masculinities. It was a community workshop in Town Hall. And Beam is doing like some really, really dope work around the country around Black emotional and mental health, quite frankly, quite honestly, like that's why they call it that.
Yeah.
But doing some really, really awesome work. His name's Yolo Akili. You guys should check him out, follow him, and get into Beam.
He's very fun. Yes, follow him on Instagram.
Well, that he is too.
We're gonna do a double, I think, tag team dishonorable mention and honorable mention all around the Super Bowl.
Listen, I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved what they did in this halftime show.
Yes. Shout out to J-Lo. Shout out to Shakira. J-Lo won over Shakira, but we're not pitting women against each other. Wow. Just saying.
I think you literally just
said. Just saying.
So my dishonorable mention mm-hmm. is going to anybody that was complaining about Shakira and Jennifer Lopez and how they were just like too sexy for a family time on television.
Her daughter was right there.
Her daughter was literally right there. This also calls back to Janet Jackson.
Shout out.
I also love how the Super Bowl is always Janet Jackson Appreciation Day. Y'all had all this stuff to say about Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, but had your tongues wagging for Adam Levine with his shirt off walking around. Hashtag free the nipple.
Hashtag free the nipple. And I just have to say the political messages that Shakira and J-Lo had integrated into their shows.
I loved it.
It was perfect and it was amazing. I know some of y'all didn't see it, so go, you know, look at all the conspiracy theorists on YouTube to find out what we talked about.
Well, like the kids in the cages and then the use of Let's Get Loud, like using your voice, like it was fantastic.
Yes, and J-Lo's fabulous outfit, which was on one side was the American flag and then the other side was the Puerto Rican flag. Yeah. Oh, we love to see it.
Jennifer Lopez is showing us what 50 can really be.
Oh, and shout out, she had the Hustlers nod with all of the strippers on the pole.
It was fantastic.
It was everything. Anyway, that's our show for this week for our inaugural episode.
Wow. Of our first annual. Someone just totally cringed, right? And I love you for it.
Our first episode of Fanti Podcast. We need you to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Spread the word about how fabulous we are. We need your support. Send links to your friends. Send it to your mama, your daddy, your sister, and your Grammy, too. Okay? Tell them to subscribe.
Coming up on the next episode of Fanti, we're going to talk about Blackters, but specifically Black British actors.
And Coming over, taking all of the great American jobs.
There's a bit of controversy around Black British actors getting the roles of like iconic American people, specifically people like, I don't know, Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, we're talking about you, Cynthia.
Aretha Franklin. Yes, there's a lot of them. So we'll talk about that on the next episode of Fanti. If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, you can tweet us at Fanti Podcast or follow us on Instagram at Fanti Podcast. I am at Jarrett Hill across all social media. That's Jarrett, 2 R's. 2 T's.
Well, he's fancy. I couldn't get this my name on all of the platforms.
It's okay.
So on Twitter, I'm at Trevell Anderson. That's T-R-E-V-E-L-L Anderson with an O. And on the Instas, I'm at R-A-Y-Z-H-O-E.
Rayjean.
Ow.
Or you can send us an email at fanti@maximumfun.org. That's fanti@maximumfun.org.
Our fabulous theme song is brought to you by Corece. That's C-O-R.E-C-E. Check him out wherever you get your tunes. Our producer is Laura Swisher.
Woo!
This is a production of Maximum Fun.
We'll see you next week.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Boom!
Make my heart go boom, boom. Supernova girl, 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 girl.
I don't know what that is.